be a good Pastor Murphy. If you ever wanted to put on a seminar, you know, on relationships, you and your wife would be. You'd be good at doing that. So, I don't know if the Lord would call you to that or not. On Wednesday, we were going through a Bible study on evangelism, sharing Christ with others. And Vicki Boer, our choir director, came up with a good insight from the Old Testament. We were talking about Bible characters who God used to influence others toward the Lord. And she picked out Naomi and her relationship with Ruth. And I thought, I never thought of that relationship like that. But really, it happened that way. Naomi was a believer first, probably, in the Scripture, if you read the little story of the book of Ruth in the Bible. She was a believer, but she wasn't a strong believer. There was tragedy in her life, brokenness. She lost son and husband, and things were real difficult for her. So her faith was not strong. You know, Naomi's faith was just not strong. And yet, she had a relationship with Ruth, was very concerned about Ruth's future. Ruth, go back to your own people, you know, you'll be safe there. Ruth said no. Ruth saw something in Naomi she really wanted. And so Ruth said something very famous, you know, where you go, I'm going. Where you stay, I'm staying. Your God will be my God. Your people will be my people. And it was almost like Ruth was attracted to the Lord in Naomi's life. And the end of the story turns out really well. Ruth tags along with Naomi. They go back to Naomi's land, and Ruth marries a very famous man named Boaz, and they end up having a little one who is a ancestor of Jesus himself, you know, in that line of David. So the story is how God can bring life and enthusiasm and grace out of brokenness and difficulty and death. And that's really the story of telling the good news to others. You know, God does that to every individual heart, ours, and the people we share Christ with. Jesus said he came to give us life and life abundantly. Now that's first to our soul and to our spirit. So he'll do that for us like he did for Naomi and Ruth. And what if the purpose of your whole life was to worship God, which is a great purpose, and also just to influence one person, that's all, one person, to believe in Christ? You would say, man, my life has been fulfilled. You know, I had a great purpose. And just like maybe that was Naomi. She saw one person, Ruth, turn to the true God. And look what God did from that. And so God is working in your life like that. Your life is one of abundance from Him. And the Lord's on a mission. Remember, Jesus came to call people to faith and repentance. So take that for your heart. Wish that more than anything else for other people. And watch what God will do. God recruits us to join Him in the great adventure of telling of Jesus and His love. And so this, just trying to keep this series in mind. And I think Pastor Wood is going to hit this for about 4 weeks in the Sunday school class also. So the Lord has you coming towards you every way you look. Thinking about evangelism with you. Remember, it's God's work, 100% our work. It's for every Christian. Okay, not just the missionary guy, pastor guy, Sunday school guy. It's the responsibility, privilege of every Christian. And last week we talked about five things the Lord would build into us. Just to review those, if they'd stick to your heart and change your life. Be close to the Lord and tell Him the good news. Jesus, be yourself in us as we do that. Okay, only He could shine with His light. We don't have the light without Him. And us letting Him get the window clean of our life so His light can shine through. Be close to the Lord. Be praying. Because the problem is maybe our lack of perspective on how God sees people. We want to see Him like He does. And then be listening. Hey, what difficulties are people going through? God has something to do with that. He has the ability to help anybody in any problem. Okay, nothing's too hard for Him. Be listening. be natural. You're bubbly and aggressive. Do be that way in sharing Christ. If you're more quiet, be that way in sharing Christ. And God will give you what you need to balance off your personality. And then be direct. Talk about sin. Hey, sin's a destroyer of lives. Christ could come and He takes the penalty of sin and the power of sin away. Boy, thank God. When you think of sin sometimes, it's like, it looks like an overwhelming flood tide. But it's, remember, it's finite compared to an infinite God. He's big compared to the sin problem, which He dealt with on the cross. But some more B's to add for today. Anything that hits your heart, have it stay with you with God's Spirit and His Word. If you want to write down a few notes, a little bit of pencil, lead will help your 3.5-pound brain remember something helpful. Another B to add would be brave. Be brave when you tell others of Christ. You're talking about the most personal, heartfelt experience in the whole world. We might have shared before. You could talk about your children. You could talk about who's close to you in your life or your job or something. You know. But when you talk about God, you're talking about, need we say, the number one relationship in the whole world. So you know the atmosphere is going to be exciting, intense, and blessed. But be brave. Jesus is the example of this. He stepped out of heaven to enter a sinful world, touched every sin there ever was. Okay. And it's a good thing to keep in mind when you think about the bravery factor, whether the sin's in our own life or somebody else's life. Jesus is not shocked or intimidated by the sin in the world or the sin in our own hearts. He says, I came for a problem like that. So he's like a good physician who knows to bring health out of illness. So be brave like Jesus was. Jesus exhibited bravery with the woman at the well in John chapter 4. The Bible says she was a Samaritan, Jesus was Jewish, and John, the good news writer, said, and Jews do not associate with Samaritans. Okay. So there are people in our lives that we say, how am I going to be brave to tell the news of Christ? I just don't associate with them. We came up with a list Wednesday on who are the Samaritans in your life. One of the things we put at the top of the list was relatives. I don't know if that's qualifying some of your lives. There are certain relatives. I don't want to talk to them at all, let alone about God. You know, that would be extremely intense. But Jesus crossed the social barrier. Guys didn't talk to gals back then. Jews didn't talk to Samaritans. But he set the example. So we're called to be brave. Okay, Lord, who do I sense needs your help? An isolated person. The people you would think, oh, they'd be least likely to receive Christ. They'd be like the Apostle Paul, you know. Or they'd be like fishermen who were rough and tough, but Christ knocked on the door of their heart. So you and I, get out of our Christian club, connect with those who don't believe, be a friend of sinners. If people in your life who don't go to church ever and don't believe in God and think, you know, we don't know nothing about God and most Christians are out to lunch. When they think of friends, hopefully they think of you. You say, I don't believe in God, but I know this guy or this gal. I think they're religious or something. I think I believe in God. I think something about Christ in their life. You should be on their list as a friend. Jesus was a friend of sinners. You be a friend of sinners. That's the call of God in our life. So be brave. Second thing, be transparent. The Apostle Paul was transparent in his letters. He told about his faults. He told about his limitations. He wrote down when he was angry. He wrote down when he was happy. He said about his life in Romans 7, listen to this, but being transparent, he said, pretty much, without God, I am a wretched man. And I don't know if people around you are getting that message or not. But you know, that is a part of what Christ has done in you. Focusing on, this was my need, and Christ has met that need and then some. To be transparent. Paul said, Christ came to rescue sinners, I am chief, I would show mercy, so God's unlimited patience should be could be on display. You might say, hey, my wife's an example of God's unlimited patience. He should have sent me to hell years ago. But now I know him. And I'm, by his grace, headed for heaven. Be transparent in showing the grace of God and occasionally, in God's providence, showing the need that we have. Keep in mind, when we are transparent, a lot of our communication takes place through nonverbal messages. So we try to walk with the Lord without looking like we've been chewing on lemons. Okay. I just bat all the time and I only smile 2 times a month. Ask God to work on the heart so that it looks like you're going to heaven. I don't know if it would be apparent, you know, somebody would say, that person looks like they're going to heaven. I'm not sure there's a heaven. I'm not sure there's a God or Christ. But that person looks like they're going to heaven. Only God can pull that off with the baggage we carry around. Be transparent. And then be faithful. That's the next B. Be faithful to trust God's resources, not your own. This is a huge one. Be faithful to trust God's resources, not your own. I'll give credit to one of our Sunday school participants, Ruth Watkins, who says, faith, F-A-I-T-H, is forsaking all, I take him. Okay, when it comes to salvation, that's what you say. If you've never asked Christ to rescue you, you say, forsaking all, I take Christ. I'll put him before myself. And you do that in terms of sharing the gospel also. Forsaking all my trust in myself, I take Christ. What would your confidence is of God, not of yourself? What, for example, how many in here are good at playing the organ? Virginia, don't raise your hand. Okay, nobody's good at playing the organ. If you started out playing the organ, you would start slow. You would take your time. You would trust your teacher, not in yourself. You wouldn't get there and say, "Well, I'm excited about it, so this is going to be great." We would not think so. And How many are good at evangelism? Mike, don't raise your hand. How many are good at evangelism? Don't be humble. Well, be humble, but don't be embarrassed. Okay. Here's the truth of trusting God's resources, not our own. None of us are good at evangelism. Okay, if I was good at evangelism, every 2 or 3 months there would be new people sitting in that second pew, and I would say, hey, these are my new friends who just came to the Lord a couple of months ago. And they've got new guys next to you, too, and new gals next to you, but you could check, and they're like, well, I guess I'm not good at evangelism. And to know that truth means that God is good at evangelism. So if I trust in his resources and not my own, what could he get done? What could he get done? Be faithful to trust his resources, not your own. And you'd be surprised what the Lord will do. Use you and I to pass on the good news. And we do, by the way, we live, by the way. We're that living letter from Christ according to the Bible. So God is working, even though we don't always see harvest time. And that is interesting, out of a 12 months out of the year, how often is harvest time? I don't know. We used to have some farmers in the church where I went. When it was hay time, they were like full. They were full of energy and worked 14, 16 hours a day. It's like it's haying time. We got to get it done right now. And it was a very short time out of the year. But so don't be discouraged when you don't see what God would do. Know He is working through you. Trust His resources, not your own. And then be surprised when you are least willing and you say, I don't believe God would use me ever. Yes, He said He would. And the Lord would use you to honor Himself when your methods are a little imperfect and you are a little imperfect. God would use you. So be surprised. Sometimes when you're not looking for it, you say, I think this person is interested in Christ, and he's looking at me for help with that. You know, I'd call my wife up and say, hey, can you help me out with this? But there's a true story about how God can work. There's a man who went on vacation to visit his aunt and uncle, and like most people, on vacation you just want to relax. He wanted to swim and play golf and eat a lot, he said. So there he was. And his aunt said, you know, I know you have a schedule to do a lot of things, but I get this person who keeps coming over to the house on Saturday morning. I think they're a Jehovah's Witness. And they spend a lot of time here, and they spend over two to three hours talking. Could you talk to them about the Lord? And he's thinking, you know, I think I have a golf match that morning. And he doesn't want, this is not good. And so the aunt keeps harping on him, you know, come on, he's coming over. I told him about you. He really wants to meet you. Okay. And the aunt says, you know, I have this cassette tape by Walter Martin who talks about different non-Christian groups. And he has some good ideas. And maybe you could listen to the tape with this guy. He's thinking, this is going to be bad. So the man comes over. He says hello for a minute. You want to listen to this cassette tape with me? So he puts in the cassette tape. They listen to the tape. Everything's uncomfortable for about 45 minutes, listening to Walter Martin drone on about the faults of the Jehovah's Witnesses. At the end of the tape, the Christian guy, he shuts it off and he says, well, I don't know what to say. He said, what do you think? And the man says, I think I need to receive Jesus in my life to be my Lord and Savior. You know, and let my Christians like, I can't believe what God just did through his minimal efforts, but he was available. And so be surprised if you say, Lord, I just want to follow you and be used by you to really bless somebody else. God would do that through you. I think it's a Bible truth that if you look at anybody else in this room who knows the Lord, you should believe about them. God would use them to turn somebody to Christ. I often think of each of you like that. I would think, if I could just get, my friend's not turning to Christ because of me, but if I could just get my friend to meet, you know, Harold or Brian or Charles or somebody like that, I know they would be impacted well. So, be surprised what God can do. Commit your life to continuing to be an ambassador of His. Could we pray and commit God's work to Him and to us as we follow Him in it? Lord, thank You for Your love for people, and You're good at evangelism, presenting the news of Your Son to other people. And here we are, we just showed by our hands, none of us are good at it, but if we follow You, if we, from Your Spirit, get some bravery and transparency and faithful to, in Your skills, and You surprise us, Lord, and those moments will come, and we'll say, So that was one of the most holy moments I ever experienced, seeing this person turn to God. So do that for our soul. If somebody here hasn't turned to Christ, your spirit would say they're loved. They could say, help me, Lord, save me, rescue me from my sin by Christ's life on the cross. And I trust you 100%. Might there be a new life because you did it. And we're all glad to be a part of it. So bless each one here. Send us to the people who need you the most this week. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.